And what a beautiful day. We get to sit around tables, eating meals with each other. This is the church. This is our vision. This is our heart. Come Together Sunday is a special time where we exemplify the heart of our vision, which is to live in community with each other. And so long-term life change doesn't happen in isolation. It happens in relationship with the body of Christ. We strengthen each other. We encourage each other. We comfort each other. We admonish each other, teach each other, learn from one another. And so this is how we do that. And we prioritize that. And so we take a Sunday every year to gather together, to eat a meal. And so I'm so glad that you guys were able to be a part of that today. You guys having a good time? Excellent. All right. So when I was just 11 years old, I went to a special service at a church that we were attending in Durant, Oklahoma. Okay, so southeastern Oklahoma. And it was a Sunday night service, I believe. And there was a guy sharing his testimony that night. Okay, and he shared and he shared and he shared for an hour and 40 minutes. Very long, long testimony. But man, I was just sucked in. Like I could not, I was hanging on every single word. I was just amazed to hear how God had showed up in this guy's life, setting him free from addiction, transforming his life, miracle after miracle after miracle in his story. And I was just enthralled at everything he was saying. And I remember after that service, I was so inspired. I said, I want to encounter that God. I want to know him. The God of miracles, the God that transforms lives. And one of the reasons why I was so sucked into that testimony is because it was my father's testimony. And that was the first time at 11 years old that I had heard the full story. Now, I had been a part of witnessing the transformation that happened in his life. And I had been inspired to pursue God by seeing his radical pursuit of Jesus, getting up every morning, praying scripture over our family, fasting, sharing the gospel with people on our family vacations at gas station stops. I mean, like, full scale, all in, on fire for God. And so I was inspired. But then when I heard that testimony, it made sense. Everything clicked. That's why he is sold out to Jesus, because Jesus rescued him. He pulled him out of the pit. He set him free, and he did miracle after miracle in his life and restored relationships, brought reconciliation. And it's funny because people now, when they hear my dad's testimony, they don't believe it. They're like, no, that wasn't you. You never did that. You know, but it's amazing how God's transformed his life. So that was one instance. There was another instance, fast forward about 12 years. I was 23 years old. I was at a women's retreat, okay? And you're like, why were you at a women's retreat, Neil? Because I was leading worship, okay? They didn't have any female worship leaders, so they invited me to do it. And so I was like the only guy there. So I was at the women's retreat, and I led worship afterwards. A lady got up, and she started sharing her testimony. And again, I was just sucked in, just so powerful. And by the end of her testimony, I was bawling. I mean, just tears streaming down my face, hearing about this woman who persevered through so much struggle, so many obstacles, who didn't give up on God, didn't give up on her husband, who was going through addiction. And you probably guessed it, that woman was my mother. It was the first time I had heard her testimony. I was 23 years old, been married 3 years, and I was a youth pastor at the time, and I was just bawling, hearing just her faithfulness, her steadfastness, her stability, her willingness to depend on God. When everything was thrown against her, she continued to press forward and persevere and remain faithful to him and to her husband and to her family. And I was so thankful and I was inspired that no matter what comes in my life, no matter what happens, no matter what obstacles I face, God's grace will be sufficient for me. And his strength will be made perfect in my weakness. But both of those stories were testimonies of God's work in people's lives. And that is the power of testimony. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. The title of my short message today is testify. Everybody say testify. All right. So we are closing out our series. We've been walking through a freedom series called Free Indeed over the last 16 weeks, everybody. Wow. So it has been a long series. It's been an awesome journey. God has done some incredible things in people's lives here, right here in our body. Freedom, and we've all experienced different varying degrees of freedom over the last few months. God's been at work. And so it all started 16 weeks ago. The first message was called The Cause. And it was why. Why did Jesus leave heaven? Why did he give everything to come to earth and become a man of no reputation and humble himself even further to be crucified and die upon a cross for you and I? Why? Because of the extravagant love of our Heavenly Father, who loves us perfectly. He's full of everlasting and unfailing and unconditional love. And it's because the Father sees you, he hears you, he loves you, he's with you, and he is for you. And he rescues and saves and delivers and sets free those he loves. So we've been on this amazing journey, and it all started with three different verses. One is, you shall know the truth, and the truth will. That's right. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Whom the Son sets free is. That's right. So we've been talking about the truth of God's word, replacing lies that we've believed of the enemy with truth. We've talked about encountering the Spirit of God and the fullness of his Spirit and living by his power and his guidance in our lives. And then we've talked about the saving grace of Jesus Christ, who sets us free. And when we're free from Jesus, we are free indeed. And that word indeed means to be sure, in truth, absolutely, truly free. But what caused him to leave his throne was that incredible love for us. But how does he do this work? Well, we've talked about it the last 2 weeks, partnering with us. We get to be partners in ministry with the Holy Spirit and being ministers of freedom. He works through you and I, through the body of Christ, to help bring his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we get to be representatives of Jesus on this earth. We get to be ambassadors of a heavenly kingdom. So we partner with God in this beautiful work, in strengthening, encouraging, and comforting his people, and even those who are not yet his people. Look at this verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 11 through 13. It says, as scripture says, anyone who believes in him, Jesus, will never be put to shame. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to shame us. He wants to accuse us. He wants to condemn us. But it says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For, verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But, verse 14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Well, who's Jesus sending to the world? You and I, right? The Great Commission in Matthew 28, 19. Therefore, go, be sent and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And then John 21, 24, John, his disciple, said this. This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. Who we know that his testimony is true. There it is. He's testifying. He's being a witness as Jesus commanded him through his gospel. So our last step in being ministers of the freedom that we've freely received, right? We want to freely give what we've freely received, is to spread the good news. Well, what's the good news? What's the good news? That Jesus set you free. It's your story. It's the gospel, the good news of what he has done for you and I. Now, the great thing is, there's a lot of similarities, what he's done, his death on the cross, his resurrection, him defeating sin and death, absolutely. But what has he done in you? How has he set you free? That's good news, your testimony. It's not complicated because you're simply sharing what God's done in your life. That's it. It's very simple. No one can argue with that. That's what you've experienced. Now, testimonies are powerful for two reasons. Number one, our testimony silences the accusations of the enemy. Our testimonies silence the accusations of the enemy. The devil wants to accuse you. That's what he does. Revelations 12, 10 and 11 says, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser, Satan, of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before God day and night, has been hurled down. They, us believers in Christ, have triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." Our testimony silences the accusations of the enemy. When you hear someone's story of how God set them free, then all the things the enemy has been saying to you about how you're a failure and you'll never overcome, you'll never break free, you should despair, you should give up all hope, all of those accusations, all of those lies suddenly become silenced because you've heard the story, the truth of someone else who has genuinely been set free, who was in the same situation that you were in. So all those lies in a moment are silenced. You say, well, God can set them free, he can set me free. Amen? And then when we share our testimony, it silences the accusations the enemy brings against us. Why? Because it reminds us of Jesus' work in our life. When we share our story, sometimes we forget. I don't know about you guys, but I forget things. Anybody forget things? Anybody? Anybody at all? Like, wow, you guys got great memories. All right, I forget things, right? But when I share that story of what God's done in me, I remember. I remember all the good that he's done. And then all those lies, all that shame the enemy tries to throw on me, I say, no. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. So our testimony silences the accusations. And then number two, our testimony stirs faith in those who hear it. It stirs faith in those who hear it. It says right there in Romans 10, verse 17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. The message is heard through the word about Christ. So when we share our story, when people hear stories, man, they are encouraged. Their faith is stirred up. They are able to believe for something that maybe they completely gave up hope believing for. And then suddenly that light is sparked in them again because you shared your story. And God used you in a powerful way. Hey, we don't have to be afraid anymore. Why? Because we haven't received a spirit again to fear, a spirit of bondage. We've received the spirit of adoption by whom we can cry out, Abba, Father. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a disciplined mind. We don't have to be afraid. We have nothing to be afraid of. There's no fear in love, and perfect love casts out all fear. So we can live fearless as fearless witnesses. So, with all that being said, you guys want to hear some testimonies? That sound good? All right. Well, I'm going to bring some people up here to testify a little bit. I'm going to start with my buddy right here. So, Todd, come on, give it up for Todd.
Hello. I'm glad there's not a lot of people here today. All right, man, so I'm very long-winded, so I'll try to control that there. So Freedom Course, 11 weeks of blood, sweat, and tears, let me tell you. Coming here and being with all my friends, Nathan, Elijah, Tyler, Daniel, Neil, Dallas, I was not good at memorizing names before this, but that's another thing that I've been set free of. So I've struggled a lot in my marriage. The last 3 years after my wife's father had died, it's just been, it's a struggle. And, you know, I started my little journey here with Vacation Bible School. And if you find yourself struggling with faith, come hang out with a bunch of little people. It'll tear that down real quick, man. I'm telling you, they just bring the joy and the life and everything. And so, you know, that was the fun boat ride. And then we get to Freedom Course. And now you're having to dig through and deal with things and find truth and identify the lies of the enemy and all these things. And, you know, it's easy. And then there's some weeks where it's hard. And it's a lot of work. But it's a glorious and joyful work. And that I just enjoyed it so much. And but through it all, I just noticed my marriage getting better and better, my relationship with my children getting better and better each week. And literally, whatever we were learning about that week, that's what I was going through. That he just kept throwing these curveballs and fastballs. And I'm like, hey, wait, what is, hang on. No. And then baptism came up, and I was like, well, you might as well. So I went ahead and I got baptized, and then it just floored everything. Everything just started really picking up. And I'm a big movie buff. Have you guys ever seen the live action of The Grinch with Jim Carrey? Okay, so you know the part where he's stolen everything and now he's having this clarity moment of, oh, maybe Christmas doesn't come in a package, but it comes in more. Okay, it's about a 3-minute scene. If you can, go watch that, because that is like the perfect example of being overcome by the Holy Spirit. Like that moment, I was crying yesterday. I was like, oh, the Grinch has been saved from rejection. It's beautiful. It was fantastic. I'm telling you, watch it. Then you'll see that movie in a whole different light. The whole movie, I guess, in my opinion, the Grinch's spirit is struggling with the spirit of rejection. So, but then I started going from the Freedom Course to Iron Group, and then that just started, you know, listening to people, getting to know people. You know, you think a certain way about somebody, not in a judgmental way, but just like kind of holier than thou. How can I get to that? But as you start talking with people and letting that freedom work, you start seeing how much more you have in common with everybody around you. It's not this person's perfect and this person's wonderful. It's like, no, we all have things. And if we just take the time to talk to each other and stop thinking of ourselves all the time, there's freedom in that also. So so during the Freedom Retreat, we were asked to kind of dig into what it is in us that is no longer working, that the old man. And I just had to, Tom was my prayer person, and I was just teared up, bawling, because I had received a message, and it was that I need to let Todd go, because Todd is the old man. Now, there's a few things that the Lord wants, and that's what he's showing me. He's taken all these great things that I've learned in life, and you know, that can be hard. So if there's anybody struggling with, well, I'm a great person and I like who I am, it might be good to let it go and search for something new. Let's start digging for gold and platinum and diamonds and all these things, because right now we're working with copper, and you know, things not really of value. And once you really start getting out of being I'm an individual and seeing that I'm a whole body of people, life just becomes so much greater. Now, it's not perfect. I'm not making $1 billion, and, you know, my wife isn't always happy with me every single day. But you find tools to work through those things, and it's just been a beautiful thing, and praise God. Thank you to my friend Neil. If you ever need somebody to connect with, Neil's phenomenal, okay? So, but thanks for listening, everybody, and thank you.
Awesome. All right. Serena, where are you at, Serena? Come on up. Give it up for Serena. I believe in you.
Oh, I was not expecting this. I do not have anything prepared, so. Okay. I thought I was ready for this. I have been on a journey of freedom for, I don't know, the last 4 or 5 years, 4 years now. And the Freedom Course really was a sharpening. And of all of that I'd done before that, and it was a way of setting me free even more and connecting me even more to God than I thought I already was. I already thought I was there. I guess I'll share a little bit, share what I shared in the Freedom Course for my testimony. And I had been born into a alcoholic family, a life of poverty and abuse. I spent many years of my life being sexually abused and also witnessing and experiencing domestic abuse and violence. And that, those things created like all these lies. I had to, the spirit of rejection also, because I grew up without a father, not knowing who my father was, and the person that I had been told had been my father actually did reject me and tell me I wasn't his, and he wanted nothing to do with me. And so I spent my life believing I had a father out there who didn't love me, didn't want anything to do with me, and hated me. And so all of these things, along with some other stuff, led me into a life of seeking love in all the wrong ways. I started becoming promiscuous at the age of 13, thinking that sex was that way of getting love, because I had been sexually abused for so much of my life. I didn't know any better. I learned that I couldn't say the word no, that and the grass was always greener on the other side. I was always like, it was never enough, because no matter how much I sought after relationships, and that became my idol, no matter how much I sought after sex to become that doorway into being loved or being respected, that stuff was going to lead to those things. Like, it just never, it never created that fulfillment. And then, so I started seeking, I kind of let go of some of that and started seeking more of still the relationships, but fulfillment in having a home and a car and like all the things that they tell us that are going to give us that satisfaction in life. And I got there. I got to that point of, I had a home, I had a husband, I had my kids, I had like all the things, and I still felt so empty. And then there was, you know, just sex still kind of even just was prevalent, lust, all these things. And when I met my husband in 2021, I had already started kind of this journey of healing and breaking free of lies and learning to set boundaries and just all, and seeking God wholeheartedly was the biggest thing. That was the centerpiece for the first, I had believed in God my whole life. I'd went to church, I'd prayed, but I never understood what people were talking about. I never understood the freedom that people got. Like, I'd been saved. Why do I not get that? Does God not love me? Am I being rejected by God? I'm going to church. I'm serving people. Why do I not have that? What am I missing? What am I not doing right? How? So I thought I was so broken that God couldn't love me. And I still kept seeking it in relationships and in things and in success and in goals and in sex and all these different things, because I didn't feel like, I thought it was for everybody else, but it wasn't for me. And when I started healing, my healing process from wholeheartedly seeking him, because he had opened my eyes, he gave me a vision that opened up like these deeper desires in my heart. And for the first time, I really felt like God was for me. And I started wholeheartedly seeking him. I committed my life completely to him. And I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to get to know you. I'm going to learn what the Bible says about me and about you, and I'm just going to do this at any cost. And it did cost me. It cost me relationships. It cost me people not understanding me. It cost me people trying to tell me what I was supposed to do and me having to go against everybody and offending people because I wasn't listening to them anymore. I was no longer a people pleaser because my whole focus was on him and what he was giving me. And when I met Brandon, I realized that some of his brokenness was my brokenness too. And God showed me that he was the one I was supposed to be with. And so it set me on this journey with him, knowing that God was actually purifying me through this relationship. And he was setting me free from the lust and some of the other things. And we weren't quite there yet. And it was a journey and it took us time. And then I went through Oaks this year too. And this was after Brandon and I was married. And so at the point that we were married, I was like, okay, I felt like I was more purified. I'd been set more free. But there were still some thoughts. There were still some things that were still there. And then through Oaks, I was set more free of, like, thoughts of lust or, like, the issues I had with intimacy and sex because of the brokenness I had before. I don't know if anybody in this room has ever been sexually abused. You know what I'm talking about? That when you've experienced that, you have no idea what God has for you in that intimacy and that trust and those things that come with sex within marriage. But I was starting to learn that. And through that, I understood God was purifying me more. And through Oaks, I started being set more free of that. And I noticed that less and less I had those impure thoughts. I had those other desires, those other habits, even within the confines of my relationship. And then when we did the Freedom Course on day two, you talked about purity and you talked about the lust and the sexual immorality and things like that. And I sat in my seat over here and I was like, God, I don't know of any lies that are still left there. I don't know of any sins that are still there. I can't see any of it. I don't feel any of it. What's still there? You know, I need you to show me. And when he spoke to me, he said, you're completely clean. There's nothing left there. And I realized that that was one part of my life, that there was no more layers to peel back. There was nowhere to go deeper, that I had reached complete purity in that one aspect of my life. And I still wasn't sure. And so I went back to my prayer partner, who that one was Brenda, and we talked about it. And we went over it and we prayed about it. And then she sealed it. And I was more sure after that. And as I was walking back to my seat, I came up here and I found myself on my knees. And I was sobbing, tears of joy and of a gratitude. And I couldn't get low. I couldn't bow low enough to him, to his feet. And I was like, God, I just want to wipe your feet with my tears. I just want to wash your feet. And for the first time in my life, I knew what reverent prayer was too. Like, I got that experience of what that looked like. And the part that I didn't share in my testimony at the retreat was that in those moments, I saw that sin that I had and those lies that were buried there and stuff like that was me on the cross with the nails through my hands, and I was restricted and I was bound and I was bloody. And I saw this vision of Jesus removing me from the cross, gently taking me down, cleaning my wounds, healing those wounds with the scars still there, healing that blood off of me, cleaning that blood and purifying me and making me new. And it gave me a connection to the sacrifice that he gave for me, and that love and that compassion that he has for me in my life. And it just connected me to the cross more. Because honestly, that's been one of my prayers this year, that he's been working on connecting me to the cross more too. Because I've heard that message my entire life. And I've just become numb to it. And so that was like another part. So he answered several prayers that day for me, with showing me that I've been clean, with helping me understand reverent prayer, with connecting me to the cross more. And since then, I have felt freer in worship, and I have felt more freedom in testifying and in my relationships, and I have felt so much more immense love and connection to him.
All right. Okay, let's see. Where are you? Nathan? You're like, darn it, I thought he was going to forget me. Come on, give it up for Nathan.
Yeah, so I am not a people person. I'm not long-winded, so this will probably be short. I have not felt this free in a long time. During the Freedom Course, we covered a lot of stuff. You know, went through a lot of hurt and pain, and God healed all that. And my big one was shame of things that have happened in the past, and not being able to get over that, you know. And, there's a song by Zach Williams. It's called Survivor. And the very first line is, I gotta look it up. Hang on. For so long I carried the weight of my past, crippled by burdens like stones on my back. And I felt that. I mean, just being weighed down by, you know, my past. And not that I was a terrible person. You know, I was raised in the church, you know, raised to love God, and just, you know, things happen. Life happens. And, you know, you walk through life and you do things that you shouldn't have done. But you gotta look past that. You gotta look to God, because he loves you for not who you are, but he loves you. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I don't have the words. So we walked through multiple things in the Freedom Course, and when we got to shame was my big one. You know, just always felt like there was just this little, you know, you see the cartoons with the devil and the angel on your shoulders. And there's always just that little devil right there whispering in your ear, you're not good enough. You're a failure. You'll never amount to anything. And I felt that for so long. And, my prayer partner was Tyler. And God gave him a word. And it killed me. He said he sees me looking in a mirror, and you see all the things that you've done, you know, in the mirror, and you're looking there, and you're just like, man, how could I have done that? Why would I do that? You know, but then he said, you know, Jesus comes, and he punches that mirror and shatters it. And so all that stuff is shattered. You can't ever put that back together. And that's what God wants to do for everybody. He doesn't see us like we see ourselves. He sees us as perfect, and he loves us so much. And it just, yeah, I mean, so yeah, that's it.
All right. So we have one more, and then we'll close out our time together. You guys good for one more? Everyone good? Okay. All right. Stella, where are you at? Where are you at, Stella? Come on, give a round of applause for Stella.
I'll try to keep this short. I even typed out my speech and put it on cards And this morning I woke up and felt like I needed to rewrite it. So I've been praying all morning about which one to talk about, because I know I'm supposed to keep this under 330 words. And I tried, Neil. The typed version is 770 words. But since I'm combining two different speeches, okay, I'm going to try to keep this short. I know time is precious. So Neil wanted me to share how God worked through me by taking the Freedom Course. I had taken Oaks of Righteousness several years ago at another church. So I came into the Freedom Course kind of knowing the basic principles. Unfortunately, I hadn't been applying them. and so it doesn't work if you don't apply what you know. So as you've heard, the Freedom Course was 11 weeks. Every Wednesday, we met at a table, a round table, with the same group of people. And boy, was that challenging. I had, the last few years, probably since COVID, had gotten into isolation. I was really hurting bad. I was in a place of despair, and I just felt like my whole life I had thought I was doing what God wanted me to do, and I still wasn't getting what I needed from life. I felt empty, and it was, to be honest, too painful to come to church. I had gotten so used to being isolated that I had developed a lot of social anxiety. And when I came to church, I left humiliated, because most of the time I would cry and sob, and I left feeling very embarrassed. And so I got to where I just couldn't even come to church anymore. I had a lot of social anxiety. I was dealing with a lot of past hurts and betrayal. So I was seeking freedom. I knew I was believing a lot of lies from Satan, but man, I had proof. I could get this picture in my head of being a lawyer. And I had so much proof that I could present to make the lie from Satan. I knew it was true. But then the other side of me was, no, it's a lie from Satan. But this happened, and this happened, and this happened. That proves that that is not a lie. And man, I was in just constant turmoil in my head. And it was torment. Pure torment. But so those 11 weeks of meeting at that round table with the same group of women was so challenging for me. I don't do relationships well. And so many times I wanted to quit and not come back. My table ladies, you know what a mess I was. And, but I knew if I didn't come back each week, the alternative was to keep living in isolation, hopelessness, and I couldn't take another day. So that's what my motivation was. It was survival. I kept coming back. One of the lies that Satan was telling me during those 11 weeks was, you've heard all this before, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. you're not going to change. You've tried all this. I've been there, done that. And I really, in my heart, knew I had tried to apply everything from Oaks, but Satan was using that to try to prevent me from coming back. Now, at the end of the 11 weeks, I made it through 11 weeks, and then we were faced with the weekend retreat. So, and I don't do change well. We weren't sitting at tables anymore. So now we were in rows, and it just threw me for a loop. I can't change. But anyways, I mean, change is hard for me. So, but the retreat was a time of deeper reflection. I had, during the 11 weeks, I kind of had identified what the lies were that I was believing. But it was in the weekend retreat where we had our prayer partners, our ministry leaders, praying for us. That's where I found my freedom. Because, wow, something changed in the ministry time. It helped me. I realized that I guess I never really knew how much fear. And I had to list everything I was afraid of. And it's like I just never really knew I was so afraid. And then you had to list your shame, where the shame was coming from. And, I mean, that wasn't easy. I had a lot of shame, which I really had never thought about. But here was kind of the turning point when the ministry leader on Saturday asked me, and I mean, it sounds like an easy question, but it threw me for a loop. She asked me, "Dear Katie, what do you want from God? Have you ever asked that? Have you thought about it?" It's like, and the word just came to me. I want to be restored. I just felt so broken. And I feel like over my 70 years, I have lost so much of myself. Just so much loss. I just want to be restored. And that word is with me every day, almost like when I wake up, and it guides me. It's like my compass, because it's like I think about, is what I'm doing today going to restore me or not? And it's kind of like guiding me. That is what I keep in my head, is I want restoration. But then the second thing that really, really impacted me, and I think my life will always be different, is the ministry leader. And it's like when she shared this Bible story with me, I thought, why are you sharing, of all the neat stories in the Bible, why are you choosing this story? That was but it was the story in the gospel. It's nobody's favorite story, I don't think. It's about the woman with the bleeding issue. It's like, why are you sharing that story with me? But man, I have not been able to quit thinking about it. I have been meditating on that story. I have been learning everything I can about that woman. That story taught me so much. I think it will just change my life forever. That woman, we all have issues. You know, it's different. I don't have a bleeding issue. But what I learned from that story, for one thing, she was ostracized from society. She was labeled. And that describes me That's my story. I have, the world has put so many labels on me that I have believed. And I'm done with labels, except for what God, you know. And when she, her faith, that woman in the Bible, we don't even know her name, as far as I know. Her faith is what got her healing. Because she could have been put to death for even being in a crowd because she was labeled unclean. And yet her faith, she knew if she could just get close enough to Jesus. And man, I've been so desperate for so many years to just get close enough to Jesus, you know, that she could be healed. And that's all I want to do is I just want to get so close to him. And just, if I can just be close to him, I'll be healed of my issues. And she demonstrated such tenacity, perseverance. She spent her whole life and all her money looking to get healing. And in the end, it was just touching Jesus. But the final point I want to make is what really touched my heart. She barely touched the hem of his garment. And like, I think it was you that said, no, maybe it was, well, one of the testimonies. He saw her. He felt her touch his cloak. And he saw her. I mean, there was a crowd of people and everybody pushing against Jesus. But when she barely touched the hem of his cloak, who touched me? And I am that precious to God. He sees me, you know, and it just is going to stick with me forever. It was just what I needed to hear. I feel like I'm in the process of being restored, and it's a journey. I have the tools, and I just know that there must have been a lot of people praying for this course, for the people taking it. I know I'm seeing God differently now, kind of like I can't remember her name, she shared. When I come to church, it's like I don't experience God. I haven't experienced God. I want to know the God that you guys seem to know, you know? And it's like I haven't in the past, and I thought God doesn't want me because I can't. The way I hear you guys talk about God, even though I'm born again, it's like I don't experience him that way. But I think things will be different now. I think I'm on the road to being restored, and I'm so thankful.
I didn't need to preach. I mean, that was amazing, Stella. Oh my goodness, she was preaching. That was good. Wow. That's the power of testimony. Amen? God is alive. He is real. And he loves you. And he wants you to know him. And he wants you to know his freedom and his healing and his wholeness. And his peace, free from shame. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? If you're here this morning and you've heard these stories and you say, man, Neil, I want that. I want a story like that. I want to encounter God in that way. Maybe you've been to church your whole life, but you felt like you've never had a real living relationship with God. Or maybe you made a decision to follow him a long time ago and you feel like you've fallen away from your faith, you've fallen away from the Lord. Or maybe you've never made a decision. You've never really said, Jesus, I want to leave all and follow you, like I've heard these people talking about. If you're here today and you say, man, I want to make that decision. I want to repent. I want to put my trust in Jesus. I want to go all in like these people have, where it's all him all the time. I want to experience the fullness he has for me. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's simply putting your trust in him and saying, God, you're the Lord of my life. I'm not the boss anymore. Like Serena said, she decided to go all in. Like, he's it. And I'm going to leave all. I'm going to repent from my way of living that I've lived, and I'm turning to you. And that's all it takes, is a decision. So if you're here and you say, I want to make that decision today, this is what I'm going to ask you to do with every head bowed and eyes closed. Here in a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Now, the reason for this is so that you can remember this moment that you made the choice. We said today, on November 23rd, at 11:46 a.m., I made the decision to follow Jesus, and I've never turned back from that choice. I began the journey to freedom and to restoration. So if you're here today and you say, I want to make that decision, or I want to recommit my life to Jesus, with every head bowed, every eyes closed, on the count of three, I just want you to raise your hand as an act of faith. 1, 2, 3. All right, hands all over the place. Praise God. You can put your hand down once you've raised your hand up. Anyone else? Heads bowed, eyes closed. If there's anyone else, maybe God's working on your heart and you want to do it and you want to make a decision. This is just between you and the Lord. You're saying, I want to make this decision of faith. All right. All right, this is what I want us to do. You've made the decision. That's it. It's a choice to follow Jesus. Now we're just going to tell him about it. Okay, I want to lead you in a prayer, and this is your prayer to God, okay? We're all going to say this prayer together as one. So everyone just repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for dying for my sin. I repent. I turn from my sin. I turn from my old way, and I turn to you. I want to follow you all the days of my life. Forgive me, Jesus. Wash me clean. Restore me. Reconcile me. Set me free. Bring healing in my life. I want to know you. So today I choose to follow after you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, can we give God praise for that? Thank you, Jesus. So if you made that decision today for the first time, or it's been a while, listen, I want you to know we want to walk with you. This is a journey. Everyone said it. You can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. We need each other. So we want to walk with you. So here's what I want you to do. If you made that decision for the first time, there are little connect cards on seat backs all around the tables that look like this, okay? If you're new here, first of all, by the way, please fill one of these out. We'd love to get to know you. But also, if you made that decision, just fill this out, and there's a little box on here that says, I want to follow Jesus. And you just check that off, and you can leave it at your table, or you can put it in the offering slot at the back of the room. And we just want to give you a Bible, a How to Follow Jesus book that's awesome, and we want to walk with you in this journey so you're not having to do it alone. Does that sound good? All right. All right. Man, today was great, right? All right, good stuff. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. To close out our time together today, I just want to pray over everyone here, and then I'm going to give you guys instructions for those of you who are helping out with the Thanksgiving outreach, and I'm going to ask anyone who isn't to help us tear down all these tables, because it's a lot to do with just a couple of people. So let me just pray a blessing over you first. Lord Jesus, thank you, God, for these amazing brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, thank you, God, for these amazing men and women that shared today. Lord, for their incredible stories, for the incredible courage they had to share this morning, Lord. Thank you for freedom, Jesus. Thank you for healing. Lord, and I just speak that over every single person here today, God. May your hand of favor rest upon them. Oh, God, I pray for healing every wound of every heart. Lord, I pray, Lord, for supernatural freedom for them to experience, that you begin the journey, Lord, of freedom and restoration in their lives, God. I pray you bless them and their families in this Thanksgiving season. And Lord Jesus, may your praise never depart from our lips. Lord, we love you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So if you are serving today with the Thanksgiving Outreach, we need probably a few more volunteers, 5 or 6 more people. Meet over at the food tables over here with John. He's going to get everyone situated for that. If you are a family visiting, you're receiving food today. You're going to check back in at that small table right here by John as well, towards the sound booth. If you're receiving food, everyone else, please help us throw away trash, tear down these tables, and that's it. See you guys next week, November 30th. Love you guys. You're amazing.